On November 7th, 1861, the Union Navy attacked forts on either side of Port Royal Sound's harbor, and on that day, 10,000 enslaved people became free of their masters who had fled before the Union invasion. The excerpt from Chapter 13 that follows is Callie and her brother Lucas traveling with their white friend, Eva, in a boat from the north side of St. Helena Island to the south side of St. Helena Island. It's the night of the invasion. Freedom has come. Folks are celebrating all over the islands as Callie, Eva, and Lucas's boat drifts back to Oakhart Plantation through the channels of the islands. Callie, Eva, and Lucas caught the inbound swelling tidal creeks, floating several miles toward the heart of the Sea Island cluster. Though only an occasional directional paddle was needed, Lucas muscled the boat faster than the current. He had a finely honed sense of the day's urgency and was grateful for the push of the tide. This early evening, a crescent moon shone down upon Lucas and the women as it set in the southwestern sky, its angled sliver smiling on their mission. As they floated on silken waterways, they came upon different voices around each bend, lifting up passionate thanks to their God for the freedom he had bestowed upon them. From the largest plantation, the energy from praise songs rushed toward them like a flock of ibis suddenly lifting their heads together in flight. As those melodies became faint behind them, another chorus of inspiration rose from the opposite riverbank. Not much further downstream, they neared the plantation with the fine new praise house, from which rhythmic thumping of shuffling feet kept cadence to a quickening shout of love for a God so merciful. For all their lives, the slaves had sung spirituals to ease the ache of the present, to lift up hopes for the better day coming, and to affirm their belief in an all-powerful God who would right the wrongs of the world. Now, their aches had eased, their hopes had been realized, their God had moved, and they sang of their freedom. Lucas and his passengers were content to ride the wave of river and song, no conversation needed. Once, when they were passing through a quiet area in their journey, Eva whispered as she drifted off to sleep, "Those spirits lifted my mama to heaven tonight." Callie responded that her people did not fear death, but saw it as an open door through which to return home. Callie began to sing softly, lyrics known especially to boatmen around the Sea Islands. "Michael rowed a boat ashore, hallelujah. Michael rowed a boat ashore, hallelujah. River Jordan, chilly and wide, hallelujah. Milk and honey on the other side, hallelujah." Just as Callie allowed Eva to believe that her song was only about Christian comfort in the afterlife, with no reference to the freedom yearned for by all slaves, she also let Eva rest in the belief that her spirituals from the forest that night were meant to lift her mother's spirit. Perhaps later there would be time to explain that the music expressed the feelings of a newly freed people. Lucas took the opportunity of Eva's sleep to quietly tell Callie about Massabowin and his forced departure from Oakhart. Her eyes widened, first in fear and then in hope, as she began to wonder about life without Bowen. Her shoulders slumped with relief and tears came to her eyes. Then more spirituals came from the forests, washing over them as they flowed with the swift currents of freedom. With the smiling moon now below the watery horizon, the stars above shone more brightly than Callie had ever seen. As they floated up the creek to Oakhart, just after midnight, they heard their friends' familiar voices singing and shouting to each other. By that hour, their zest was only slightly muted from the day's celebrations, which had resounded throughout the islands. Lucas was first to smell the smoke of cooking meat, purloined from the captain's smokehouse, wafting through the trees. The feast for the stomach, though superb, was nothing like the sweet taste of having no master to fear. Freedom, they had only imagined. Now they witnessed their friends, slaves no more, dancing and shouting, continued through the night, with no seeming limit to the shared elation. In each step there was a little more jump, on each brow the furrow smoother, from each mouth a free voice sounded every phrase. All tongues were busy giving praise to God. To the faithful Africans of the South Carolina Sea Islands, no one but God himself could have brought about such an event, though high regard was expressed for Abraham Lincoln, who had sent his soldiers to scare away the planters. They did not know the future, but they did know that this day they were no longer slaves, and they did not choose to think about what the Yankees might do. Not yet.